Hey y'all, I'm Han.
And I'm Dan.
And we're here to give biblical solutions
to life's crazy problems.
Welcome to the Han and Dad podcast.
Yes. Notice, Hannah, the lights, camera, the action. Yes. We moved in from outside.
Got a new setup in here.
Yeah, got a new setup.
It's and also, nice.
Yeah, outside, of course, this time of year, and as in many parts around the country, it got really hot.
Blazing hot.
Yes. And so this is really nice.
Much nicer.
And
we love our AC.
Yeah, hopefully the recording will be a little better and everything for our viewers. But it's good to be with you today.
Yep, on today's episode, number 6, I believe.
Yes.
6 episode.
Wow, can you believe it?
I know, these are just flying by, my goodness.
Yes, it's and we hope that everyone is not just enjoying the podcast, but we really do hope that folks are learning something and things that can help them in life with their problems and also help others.
Right.
Because that's really what we're after, is to share biblical truth, share some of our experiences, and get people thinking about things. But eventually, you know, help them turn towards the Lord and biblical truth and those solutions, because they all have problems.
Right.
But interesting topic today. One of those topics I think that folks might not like to talk about and
but
really
want to know about.
Yeah, know about. And sometimes it's because we don't know a whole lot about it like we do other topics. But this topic has made some Hollywood producers very wealthy, because a lot of folks like the movies about it. But when it comes to real life, a lot of questions and some biblical solutions as well. So what's our topic for today?
Well, with that being said, I think a great topic that a lot of people, you know, want to know about but don't necessarily talk about is demonic influence.
Yes. Kind of scary, isn't it?
It is scary. You know, is it just something in the Hollywood movies, or is it real life demons, or what is demonic influence?
Well, and I think sometimes we go from one extreme to the other. I think sometimes we like to think, well, it doesn't really exist. It's only in the movies.
Right, Hollywood.
Right, and so we like to go to the theater, watch it at home, get scared, lock the doors, you know, and turn the lights on when we sleep.
Yeah, crawl under the covers and hide.
Right, and then there's like the other extreme, and sometimes we as Christians are guilty of this, I think. We say everything that happens, the car won't start. Well, the devil's in the car, you know, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it, and then everything becomes demonic influence, and everything's, you know, that's bad is of Satan, and that's kind of the two extremes. But I think we really want to talk about kind of in the middle. You know, there are a lot of demonic influences within our society, but people don't really like to talk about it. But the Bible is full of examples, and one thing that we really need to think about as we just start this conversation, and I've had this question asked to me in ministry as a pastor, and some people say, well, did the demonic possession, especially, you know, as you see in the Bible, did that end at some time in history? Did that end when Jesus went back to heaven?
Right. Did he take the demons?
Right. What was that? Did that cease or whatever? And I believe the resounding answer is no. I mean, that did not cease.
Right.
And I've had some pastor friends, and you know, and mention her name, Miss Lucy. She shares some stories with us. A lot of times people that were missionaries who go into other countries, they would really run into a lot of demonic possession and situations like that, because they're in an area where there is false worship.
Right.
There's some voodoo going on. There's
multiple
other
gods.
Right. There's other things. And, you know, they run into that. So what do you do about that? But is it only in other countries? Is it here in the United States? And so that's a topic that I think a lot of people would think about. What if it's in your family? You know, have you ever run across someone like that? So
yeah, what causes demonic possession, do you think?
And that's a good
can people stay away from it?
That's a good question, Hannah. And as I've done studies, and especially looked throughout the scripture, we had that question, you know, in preparation for the podcast today. Was thinking, studying about it. And I don't see a common denominator in the scripture where it says this happened to this person, therefore they became possessed by a demon. And one thing we're also looking at was the age. Couldn't find a specific age.
Oh, wow, that's a good question.
You know, because that's a question about,
because can children become
what age? Possessed? Yeah, and we know the Bible talks about, you know, someone's son doesn't give an exact age, but you know, that's one of those things I don't want to get into personally, as far as trying to give, you know, exact answers, because you don't really know.
Right.
But it's,
this is all just opinion based.
Right. And so that's one of those things that it does become an opinion, but it is true that I couldn't find anything where it said this is what happened. Jesus just came upon people that were demonic
possessed already. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but one thing we do want to say, I think biblically and theologically, that I think we both believe and agree on, the question about can Christians become possessed by a demon. And I believe we both agree that the scripture teaches you can be influenced, of course,
right,
but not possessed by a demon.
And there is a difference.
Right. But in the world today, how much is demonic influence and demonic possession? You know, I wonder if folks watching, if they've ever run into someone who has been possessed by a demon, but they don't really know what to do or don't recognize it.
Yeah. And I can speak from personal experience. You know, the first day we released the podcast, actually, you know, we got a couple calls from a person we've known for over 10 years, and they just started cussing us and saying a bunch of terrible, terrible things. And then their voice started changing. And I'm telling y'all, just as sure as I'm sitting on this couch, you could feel the demonic possession. 100%, I'm certain that that individual is demonically possessed, and you could feel the demonic entity through through the phone, trying to choke me up now.
Yeah, it's
through the phone,
and it's real when you run into that. And actually, and without getting too personal, the call was to me
and mom,
and yeah, mom, and so, you know, I saved that voicemail, but I don't want to listen to it again.
Right.
You know, because it is alarming, and it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, you're, you know, been a Christian a long time. When you run into that situation, it strikes a little fear in our hearts.
Yeah.
And so dealing with that, I didn't want to hear it again and again, but there was no doubt in my mind that the change in a voice and the language was just,
there's no
awful
doubt.
But it was targeted not just towards me, but my role as a pastor.
Right, the profanity towards your role.
Yeah, the spiritual side of it.
Yeah.
And so we know that Satan and his demons, they hate God. They hate God's people. And so they try to...
They love blasphemy.
Right, and they try to scare us. You
right.
know? And so and think about that. The demons, they always want to keep you from doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's a ministry, being a pastor, preacher, whether it's on your job, your family, Satan always wants to keep you from doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah, keep you from doing anything, really.
Right.
From being effective.
And I wonder how many times people run into a situation like that where they actually might be in the presence of someone who is demonically possessed. But what do they do?
Right. How do you get out of a situation like that, or pray for the person?
Yeah, and
that is demonically possessed.
Yeah, and Jesus, you know, in the Bible, Jesus, when he ran up against the demons, and I was thinking about this, isn't it amazing? I can't find anywhere in Scripture where when Jesus runs into someone who is demonically possessed, where the demons do not obey Jesus. When he says flee, they flee.
Yep.
When he says come out, they come out.
Yep.
There's never a time. And so that gives us encouragement as Christians. If you ever run into that situation, and I think it's more prevalent than people think, but if you ever run into that situation, remember, we have authority over the demons now because Jesus, as Christians, Jesus lives in us.
Right.
And we forget that sometimes, and we think it's only a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
You know, we call the Catholic priests, and they make a movie out of it. But there's been times in my life, I know for a fact, as far as I'm concerned.
Didn't you have a demon growl at you one time?
That I have had a couple of experiences. Yeah, one I'd like to share that I still remember it like it was yesterday. And just a quick little background on this individual. She was diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really didn't know what to do with this individual, and I won't call her name, but a minister to her and her boyfriend, live-in boyfriend. And one night I got a call from her boyfriend and said, Pastor Shane, can you come over? And I said, what's going on? And he called her name and said, she's chasing me around the house with a butcher knife. And she's trying to kill me. Mm. And so I did what any, you know, good Bible-believing pastor would do. I said, first of all, call 911.
Yeah, okay? Call the cops.
Yeah, I'm not super spiritual. I said, call 911 if your life's in danger. And, you know, I'll be over as soon as I can to help. And, of course, by the time I got there, the cops were there and they'd taken care of the situation. But it kept happening over and over again to the point to where something happened to her. She got sick. They couldn't figure out what it was. And so they tried to label it medically. And I realized sometimes it is a medical issue. But she was in the hospital and I went to visit her. And when I walked into the room, I've never experienced this before. But the only way I can explain it is I've seen on movies and heard the term is like shapeshifters. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that term?
Yeah, shapeshifting.
And when I walked in the room and she was lying in the bed, her face was distorted.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's...
I know, that would have been enough for me.
And I'm a young pastor at the time, maybe in my early 30s, I guess. Mm. Never experienced anything like that, but I was just frozen. And I didn't really know what to do. And I looked around. There were no, you know, doctor, nurses in there. And so I kind of made my way over. And then she began to talk and sounded normal and everything. And so I made a visit and, you know, checked on her. And I was just really uncomfortable. And at the end of my visit, I'll never forget, she said, well, can you pray with me? And I said, well, sure. You know, I'd love to pray with you. And so I walked over. She said, can you hold my hand? And I stood there beside the bed and I held her hand. You know, I closed my eyes and I began to pray with her and called her by name and prayed for her sickness.
Ain't no way, y'all.
And in the midst of my prayer, she began to growl. And I heard this, it was like a deep, from down in her soul somewhere, this deep kind of growl. And it, of course, it scared me. I didn't know what I was dealing with. And so I kind of prayed quickly and let go of her hand and she said, aren't you going to give me a hug?
Mm-mm.
And I just sat back and
nope.
I said, uh-uh.
Bye.
No, I didn't really know what to do. But the sad truth of this story is it ended up, they sent her to a local mental institution / women's prison because they really didn't know what to do with their situation. And so that brings up a discussion we had when Jesus ran into these situations. Sometimes the Bible says he healed them from a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me just say, you know, we agree and understand that sometimes there's a difference
in mental
illness. And then there's the demonic possession because it says that Jesus sometimes healed them of their sickness, whether it was like epilepsy, something like that. And then there were times when there's demon possessed, like the demoniac of the Gadarenes. And, I was just reading about that story earlier, and they didn't know what to do with him. They'd put him in chains, and he'd break the chains and break the shackles.
Is this the one who Jesus cast the demons into the pigs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
into
swine?
The herd of swine.
Wasn't it like 300-something pigs or something?
I don't remember exactly how many, but yeah,
it was a few hundred.
Yeah, it was a herd, and I know when he asked for his name of the demoniac, he said, my name is Legion, for
we are many.
We are many. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know what to do with this individual, so he was out there on his own. And that brings to thought some people that are dealing with maybe demonic influence or demonic possession, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so you know, I'll give you a question. You know, what should someone do? Maybe somebody is watching that has someone that has a situation where they're just so influenced by Satan, you know, things that they do, or even to the point they think they might be demonically possessed. What can someone do? You know,
that's a great question. I mean, honestly, I think the only thing that you can do is pray for a person. I mean, you can try to help them depending on, you know, why someone is demonically possessed. You know, it could be, just like you said, it could be a mental condition. It could be drug abuse. You know, I know pills are known for leading to demonic influence, or it could be, you know, the fact that they've just welcomed it.
Right.
That does make a huge difference. If you have an individual who is welcoming that demonic power, there's nothing you can do with that. I mean, you need to get yourself out of that situation as fast as you can, possibly can, I'm sorry, and just pray for them from a distance. That's really the only thing that I could say. But if you're in a situation where you're living with someone who's demonically possessed.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty up close and personal.
Once again, I mean, really the only thing I think you can do is just pray, fervently pray, continuously pray for them. And, you know, the Bible says if you put on the armor of God every morning, that he'll protect you. And I'm a firm believer in that. I believe if you're a Christian, that the demons can try to influence you. They can try to speak to you, but they cannot touch you. They right. cannot harm you, for you are God's. And I believe wholeheartedly, if you call in the name of Jesus Christ, that the demonic energy will flee and right. that you will have the power and the victory will be yours. And that, that Jesus can still help the person who's demonically influenced if they're willing.
Right.
And just pray that they become willing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think sometimes we get, even as Christians, we get scared of a situation. And so yeah. we just want to just
hide,
retract from it. Yeah. Go away. But if we do that, who's going to help these folks?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it's good if you know someone that you think might be dealing with that, you know, call your pastor, call another Christian.
And
talk to someone and, you know, maybe be ready to confront.
Mm.
You know, because when Jesus
an exorcism,
yeah, I mean, and it's, you know, we look at the old movie The Exorcist. You know, a lot of folks maybe have seen that.
Never seen it.
I saw it once when I was younger. I'll never see that again. I'll never watch that again. That was just too real kind of stuff.
But
we think it's just a Catholic thing. You know, we call them the priests and everything. But as Christians, we have authority over that. And you know, we talk about, you know, getting rid of Satan, and the Bible tells us, you know, we submit ourselves to God and resist Satan, and he will flee from us. And so, you know, I've learned as I'm walking and praying sometimes, especially by myself, it's a little odd for me to pray out loud, and you know, when I'm praying or talk to Satan out loud. But you see people talk about that, doing that, and I thought, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
But as I studied that, like demonology and angels and things, I realized that, you know, and again, you can research the scripture and see it for yourself. But my understanding is that Satan does not know our thoughts. God knows our thoughts.
Right.
Satan does not know our thoughts. Once we verbalize things, then he knows it.
Wow.
He knows our weaknesses, but he responds to our voice. He can hear our voice. So I began telling him, he's not welcome in my family. He's not welcome in my life. And so if we have an individual, a family member, someone who's struggling, you can begin to pray and tell Satan, you have no authority here. Leave them alone.
Yep, in the name of Jesus.
Right. But one thing you brought up is interesting. You talked about people, certain medications and certain things, drugs, can open yourself up to that. And that's a study that I saw watching a show one time, and that is worth mentioning, because there was a situation and it was a extended family member, but they had been on pain medication for years, a lot of pain medication. And I experienced something one time, and mom was there as well. We were talking to this person, and they changed personalities right in front of us, to the point to where, I don't want to get into all that happened, but this person realized it and apologized for what they were doing. And they started talking about different names they were going by. And yeah, it's just like,
that's
what in the world? And so that may have been like a multiple personality disorder.
Right.
But I know a lot of times people, whether it's the drugs, pain pills, things like that, if you go just so far into things, you know, like pornography and all that, you know, you get out there to a point to where, let's be honest, we don't know for sure, but you would say it had to be Satan possessing
like
that person to do those awful things. And we think about many times you see the, you know, like the school shootings and things that just off, we can't even comprehend how people could do something like that. But if you'll notice, a lot of times I do research into these folks, their background and their history, a lot of times they open themselves up.
Right.
To some demonic stuff just over and over again, and sometimes for years, and they just lash out and do these things. And so, you know, we need to pray for one another.
I think
that situation.
I think for our generation, we don't really take demonic activity seriously.
Right.
You know, we go out and we buy Ouija boards, we get the tarot cards, and we think, oh, this is fun, this is cool. But we don't realize that's a gateway, just like you said, in letting Satan into your mind.
Right.
And before you know it, you can go off the deep end and start doing all of these things that you never thought you would do, all because you opened that gateway.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun, especially, and it's not just an age thing, I guess. It's for any age group, but it seems like when we're younger, we tend to think we're invincible,
right,
and do things yep. like that. And I had a friend that he was probably maybe in his early 20s at the time, and he was telling me that he got into some Satan worship with some of his friends, and he thought it'd be cool to do that. And I remember he was telling me that he got to a point where he started going to these like meetings or their church or whatever, and got to the point to where he would levitate.
Nah.
And said, and he told me a story where he was sitting on the bed, and he said he felt himself begin to levitate, and there were others around him praying for him and all, and said he looked down and he saw this red kind of swirl, you know, like hellfire. And began to swirl, and it said it scared him really bad. It said, but his friends were telling him, said, you know, go forward, don't stop now, go forward. You know, it's
no
about
way.
A power transfer and all this. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, I didn't know what I'd gotten myself into. He said, but that was it. I was done with that. He said, I got out of there. And then he went on to share with me about how a little later in his life, he gave his life to Christ.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and he got saved. But he said, I'm telling you, he said, you can believe it or leave it alone. He said, that stuff is real.
Oh, that stuff is very real.
And Satan gives you power. And a lot of young people especially, they think it's a joke.
Yep, you're exactly right. And some of them, you know, I actually saw a TikTok. It was a girl, I believe she's 26 now, but she said 10 years ago when she was 16 years old, her friends talked her into joining a cult. Mm. And she said, oh, okay, you know, it's time for me to hang out with my friends and all that. And they would meet up at this old building, this old abandoned building. And she said, at first it started out in just like prayer. That they would sit around in groups and pray, and then eventually it advanced to where they would have their own private room and they would each individually pray. And she said that her friends told her that you need to lie down and pray, and just like you said, you need to try to ascend your spirit onto Christian family so you can cause them to sin. And she was like, why would I do this? And they said, no, you need to do it because it's going to make the demons happy. It's going to make Satan happy.
Right.
And she said that when she was 16 years old, she was sitting on the bed and she was praying. And she said that Satan appeared in front of her and was like, this is what I want you to do. And she was like, okay. And she lay down and she ascended and she went to a Christian family and she started causing like lust, anger, just sinful things on this family. But then she went to another family and there was a blue dome above this family as she was in spirit form. And I know it sounds wild because like what in the world, but I 100% believe that this is real. She said that she was over this Christian family and all she could see was a blue dome and she couldn't cause them to think anything. And she was like, what in the world is this? Why is this? So she went back home and she did some research and she found out that when a Christian is actively praying, a demon cannot cause them to sin, cannot cause any harm or anything because they are protected
right.
by the presence of God. And that is so powerful
right.
because a lot of people think, oh, I'm just praying and I don't hear anything, so it's not working. And that's not true. God is there and he hears you. Trust me, he hears you and he's protecting you when you're praying.
And that's one thing we need to remember as we talk about this sounds scary and, oh, could this happen to me? And what kind of influence could Satan have in my life? And it's only about as much as we allow him to have.
Right.
In our lives, and we don't need to forget that we all sin as Christians. We're not perfect, but we don't have to sin. We don't have to allow Satan access into our lives.
Yep.
And kind of another side road on this, another part of discussion. But something I was thinking about that I want to mention is that the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. It talks about having the shield of faith and to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And as Christians, they say, well, okay, well, good. I don't have to worry about Satan, his demons, you know, possessing me. So I'm good. Right.
Right.
Well, the thing is we have to understand Satan is always trying to do destruction and
yep.
harm on us. And what that means in Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about, he fires the flaming arrows or the fiery darts. In those days, the soldiers would use bow and arrows. And they would have something on the end of the arrows that they would light up and set on fire because the shields they're talking about usually made out of wood, covered mm-hmm. with leather. And so if it stuck in that shield, it could catch it on fire.
Right.
But another thing is you study that and look at it. Another a tactic that they used, they would actually take these arrows and shoot them over a wall.
Like, oh, wow.
A walled city, mm-hmm, or a gated city. And they'd shoot it over those walls. And it really didn't matter if it landed in someone's house or a business. The soldiers would be up maybe around the wall fighting. And next thing they know, they look back and that arrow that had been launched in starts a whole fire and burning, mm-hmm, down the town. And what Satan does to us as Christians, he can't possess us.
Wow, that's good.
But I was thinking about one thing in particular, Facebook especially. Facebook for just a moment.
Yeah, social media.
Satan can take someone on Facebook and he can use them to launch an arrow,
yep,
right into your life,
yep,
right into my life, right into your family's life. And guess what? They're gone.
Yep.
They just fire an arrow and they're gone. And if we're not careful, we'll read that post. We'll answer that post. We'll reread it. We'll get others to do this and that, and talk about that post and what it meant to us and how it hurt us. And sometimes the people are just laughing.
Using it as entertainment.
Yeah, they launch that arrow and they go. So we've got to be careful not to let Satan do that. And we have that shield of faith.
Yeah.
And say,
be on guard.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. So again, you stay in prayer. You stay close to God. And that's what it says in Ephesians 6 as well. Be strong,
yep,
in the power of the Lord and his might. And so we can, you know, quench those fiery darts of the wicked with that shield of faith. So very true. So I would say to our viewers, if you want to guard against Satan's influence in your life, stay in prayer.
So let me ask you this. Do you think a reprobate mind in demonic possession, do you think that's kind of, do you have to have a reprobate mind before you go into the demonic possession? And reprobate mind meaning a mind that is...
Yeah, it's just kind of a mind that is devoid of just a moral compass,
mm-hmm,
so to speak. And that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good point. You know, are people more susceptible to demonic influence and possession if they've been turned over to a reprobate,
right,
mind? And, you know, I would just have to say, in my opinion, it would appear that way, because the Bible talks about God had turned some people over to a reprobate mind. Meaning,
Pharaoh.
Yeah, and in the New Testament as well, you know, a group of people. And even today, I think that's still true today. If people, they just continually ignore God's warning, ignore,
yep,
God's drawing.
Keep going down that bad path.
Yeah, and they want this sin. They keep doing this sin. I think,
yep,
very good thought there, Hannah. Very good topic, because I think that's maybe what we're seeing in our society today.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Is with some of these issues that people just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and, you know, just kind of shaking their fist in the face of God, and, you know, proud of their sin and,
yeah,
the abomination and all that they're doing, the moral failures. And there is a point where God says he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind, meaning he will just let you go.
And you think that happens when a person is just like filled up with sin in their life?
Yeah, you know, I've often thought about how, when does that happen? Is there a point? And again, I don't think that's up to us to be able to say that.
Right,
I tried to look and see if there's a point that happens. But again, it comes into God knowing everything. And so he knows whether or not that person is going to turn to him, you know. So when he turns them over to a reprobate mind,
it's because he can see their life.
He already knows
that they weren't going to turn to him anyways.
Right. And so it's not really, you know, for me to say, oh, well, they're beyond the reach of God or whatever. But
right, it's only for God.
But I think you see that when it gets to a point to where people just, they look at a situation and say, how do we get to this point?
Right. Their actions are, right, just so terrible.
But
how could you not be reprobate mind?
Yeah, I saw where it was a famous person, won't call her name either, but she was a kind of a celebrity, and she lived in California. And I saw where she said, you know, enough is enough. And she was leaving California, and she was a proclaimed liberal. She's a woman. She said, I'm a gay woman. I'm live in California. I'm very liberal in my thoughts with what people do with their lives and everything. And she said she had one Jewish parent and one Arab parent and a child that was a mix, different races and all. She said, so I check all the cards, you know, on all these issues, mm-hmm, of that liberals love. She said, but I'm telling you, California has gotten to the point, she said, it is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, they're wild out over there.
Where, yeah, they don't punish the crimes. She said they just allow things to go on and on. And at what point do you say, okay, God has turned this group over or that group over to a reprobate mind, and what does that look like?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. People walking around, and they get in groups sometimes, walking around with no moral compass, no regret, no remorse, no conscience, so to speak. That's a scary situation.
Yeah.
And to think about being turned over to a reprobate mind, it doesn't just affect that person. All of a sudden, it begins to affect people around them.
Yeah,
it begins to affect society. Mm. And that's where there's a big battle coming in. But what we have to remember is it's not this group against that group. We make that mistake. It's not us against them. We are fighting against principalities and powers. It's not the flesh and blood. And so we're to pray against that evil. But to see that, it's just, it's scary because it just moves across the country. And then we're left, you know, you get out in society sometimes and you see it. It's almost like there's lawlessness in certain areas. And of course, Satan's all behind that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But the reprobate mind, it's a terrible thing to be at that point.
Yeah. We want to thank you for watching or listening to this episode.
And we hope that something we said was an encouragement to you and can be an encouragement to someone else.
And if you have any questions, please email us or leave a comment down below. Thank you so much.
God bless you.